Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gnanjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhi Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama. So today we will be reading about Srila Sanatan Goswami, and we'll be starting our Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita readings. And now is a nice time to really dive into the meaning and the significance of Jagannath Rath Yatra, of Jagannath Puri. Yesterday we had a very beautiful festival of Snan Yatra, and everybody is now feeling separation from the Lord. And Jagannath Puri, one of the names of Jagannath Puri, of which it has many, many different names, is known as Vipralamba Kshetra, the holy dham of separation. And so in studying Chaitanya Charitamrita and Lord Chaitanya, who lived for 18 years in Jagannath Puri, we see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited intense separation. And today is Guru Purnima, and I looked up Guru Purnima on the Veda base, and there are two instances where devotees brought up Guru Purnima to Srila Prabhupada. One was Tamal Krishna Goswami. In a room conversation, he asked Srila Prabhupada, "Today is Guru Purnima. Should we have any special celebration?" And Srila Prabhupada said, "Every day you're having Guru Puja, so what else do you need to do?" And then in another letter to Gaura Sundar, I think in Los Angeles, Srila Prabhupada said that Guru Purnima is particularly celebrated by the Mayavadis because they have one day out of the year where they celebrate their guru, while every day we're having it. And Srila Prabhupada said that Vyas Puja, we properly celebrate the guru on their Vyas Puja. But Srila Sanatan Goswami is the guru of Vrindavan. And the Vaishnavs in Vrindavan in those days, they actually put Guru Purnima as a celebration to worship Srila Sanatan Goswami. So Guru Purnima for the Brijabasis is a day of worshiping their guru, Srila Sanatan Goswami. And so we'll attempt to read and glorify Srila Sanatan Goswami. But how much can we actually really glorify Srila Sanatan Goswami? It's been stated that how much can a sparrow understand the birds of prey, the eagles and those other giant birds that fly so high above? How can the sparrow have some understanding of such great birds? So such as us conditioned souls, how much can we properly understand and glorify Srila Sanatan Goswami, who's an eternal associate of Lord Chaitanya? So I wanted to start out by reading Adi Leela, chapter 10, text 84. And I'll read some of the purport, but we wanted to mainly focus on Srila Sanatana Goswami's meeting with Lord Chaitanya. So, in the verse of 84, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes, on the western side were the 43rd, 44th, and 45th branches, Sri Sanatan, Sri Rupa, and Anupam. They were the best of all. In the purport, Sanatan Goswami and Rupa Goswami belong to the Bharadvaj Gotra, which indicates that they belonged either to the family or disciplic succession of Bharadvaj Muni. As members of the Krishna consciousness movement, we belong to the family or disciplic succession of Sarasvati Goswami, and thus we are known as Sarasvats. Obeisances are therefore offered to the spiritual master as Sarasvata Deva, or the member or a member of the Sarasvat family, Namaste Sarasvate Deva, whose mission is to broadcast the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gauravani Pracharine, and to fight with impersonalists and voidists, Nirvashesha, Shunyavadi, Paschatya Deshatarine. This was also the occupational duty of Sanatan Goswami, Rupa Goswami, and Anupam Goswami. 84, chapter 10, Adilila 84. The genealogical table of Sanatan Goswami, Rupa Goswami, and Vallabha Goswami can be traced back to the 12th century Shakabda, when a gentleman of the name Sarvagya appeared in a very rich and opulent Brahmin family in the province of Karnata. He had two sons named Aniruddhara Rupeshwar and Harihar, who were both bereft of their kingdoms and thus obliged to reside in the highlands. The son of Rupeshwar, who is named Padmanabha, moved to a place in Bengal known as Naihati, on the bank of the Ganges. There he had five sons, of whom the youngest, Mukunda, had a well-behaved son named Kumardev, who was the father of Rupa, Sanatan, and Vallabha. So, Sri Sanatan Goswami is described in the Gaur Gonadesh Dipika 181. He was formerly known as Rati Manjari, or sometimes Lavanga Manjari. In the Bhakti Ratnakar, it is stated that his spiritual master, Vidya Vachaspati, who is the brother of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, sometimes stayed in the village of Ram Kali, and Sanatan Goswami studied all the Vedic literatures from him. He was so devoted to his spiritual master that this cannot be described. According to the Vedic system, if someone sees a Muslim, he must perform rituals to atone for the meeting. Sanatan Goswami always associated with Muslim kings. Not giving much attention to the Vedic injunctions, he used to visit the houses of Muslim kings, and thus he considered himself to have been converted into a Muslim. He was therefore always very humble and meek. When Sanatan Goswami presented himself before Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, "I am always in association with lower class people, and my behavior is therefore very abominable." He actually belonged to a respectable Brahmin family, but because he considered his behavior to be abominable, he did not try to place himself among the Brahmins, but always remained among people of the lower castes. He wrote the Hari Bhakti Vilas and Vaishnav Toshini, which is a commentary on the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. In the year 1476 Shakabda, AD 1554, he completed the Brihad Vaishnav Toshini commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. In the year 1504 Shakabda, AD 1582, Srila Jiva Goswami published an edited version of the Brihad Vaishnav Toshini named Laghu Toshini. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught his principles through four chief followers. Among them, Ramananda Roy is exceptional, for through him the Lord taught how a devotee can completely vanquish the power of Cupid. By Cupid's power, as soon as one sees a beautiful woman, he is conquered by her beauty. Sri Ramananda Roy, however, vanquished Cupid's pride. Indeed, while rehearsing the Jagannath Vallabha Natika, he personally directed extremely beautiful young girls in dancing, but he was never affected by their beautiful, by their youthful beauty. Sri Ramananda Roy personally bathed these girls, touching them and washing them with his own hands, yet he remained calm and passionless as a great devotee should be. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu certified that this was possible only for Ramananda Roy. Similarly, Damodar Pandit was notable for his objectivity as a critic. He did not even spare Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from his criticism. This also cannot be imitated by anyone else. Haridas Thakur is exceptional for his forbearance because although he was beaten with canes in 22 marketplaces, he was nevertheless tolerant. Similarly, Sri Sanatan Goswami, although he belonged to a most respectable Brahmin family, was exceptional for his humility and meekness. So on these special disappearance days, we want to hear and meditate upon the lives of these great souls so that we can focus on their particular qualities, their compassion, their great activities. Because the associates of Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself, and when he comes down, he brings his abode and his entourage. So these great souls, like Srila Sanatana Goswami, are eternal associates of Lord Krishna. Yet they come down in a sadhika vesh, or they're covered by the, you could say, sadhika form, where they're acting in such a way for our benefit, to teach us how to be devotees. And through Sanatana Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed the world how to be humble and meek. And so in the early life of Srila Sanatana Goswami, they were born of Kumaradev, they were known as Amar and Santosh. And Amar and Santosh, they were so learned, they were so brilliant scholars, that the Hussein Shah, Nawab Hussein Shah, was told that if he got them to become part of his ministry, his mission, then he would conquer the whole lands. He would be perfect in everything that he did. And so, at a very young age, Amar, who's later Sanatan Goswami, he had a dream. This is described in Bhakti Ratnakar, that he dreamed that a Brahmin brought him Srimad Bhagavatam. And then he woke up from that dream, and there was no Srimad Bhagavatam. And he was lamenting and crying so much because he wanted the Srimad Bhagavatam so badly. Later that day, the same Brahmin from the dream came and brought him Srimad Bhagavatam. And so Sanatan Goswami made Srimad Bhagavatam his life and soul. And so they were threatened by the Nawab Hussein Shah that if you don't come work for me, then I will persecute the whole Hindu population. So kind of against their will, Amar and Santosh, Sanatan Goswami and Rupa Goswami, they went and they became top ministers of the Nawab Hussein Shah. Actually, the Shah gave them titles, Dabir Khas and Sakar Malika. And when they lived in these palaces of the Nawab Hussein Shah, they did such amazing work that the Nawab considered them brothers, his own brothers. And so he gave them very great opulence in their own palaces. And they actually constructed a Gupta Vrindavan, a hidden Vrindavan. So even while they were engaged in service to the Muslims, they were always in their eternal position of worshipping Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. And so we know that the first meeting of Rupa and Sanatana Goswami with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu happened when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tried to go to Vrindavan, his first attempt to go to Vrindavan. And the king actually heard of the characteristics of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the Nawab Hussein Shah started glorifying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, saying that, oh, look, this he must be a great prophet because everybody's following him and he's not giving anybody any money. So he must be a very great prophet. And so he asked one of his other ministers, Keshava Chatri, who is this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Please, you know, inform me all about him. And Keshava, he knew the glory of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he knew that the king is very, very ruthless, and he might become envious. And so he just said, oh, he's just a beggar, you know, he's nothing too much. And the king actually chastised him, saying, I know him to be the supreme personality of Godhead. And so he called on Rupa Goswami, and Rupa Goswami said that you're the king. You're a representative of the supreme personality of Godhead. Whatever is in your heart is right. And so the king and Rupa Goswami, they discussed that this is the supreme personality of Godhead. And so secretly, Dabir Khas and Sakar Malika, they went to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a secluded place. And first they went to Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur. And they told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that two personalities had come to see him. So in great humility, both brothers took bunches of straw between their teeth, and each binding a cloth around his neck, fell down like rods before the Lord. Upon seeing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the two brothers were overwhelmed with joy, and out of humility they began to cry. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked them to get up and assured them of all good fortune. The two brothers got up, and again taking straw between their teeth, they humbly offered prayers with folded hands. All glories to Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the most merciful savior of the fallen souls. All glories to the Supreme Personality. Sir, we belong to the lowest class of men, and our associates and employment are also of the lowest type. Therefore, we cannot introduce ourselves to you. We feel very much ashamed standing here before you. Dear Lord, let us inform you that no one is more sinful than us, nor is there any offender like us. Even if we wanted to mention our sinful activities, we would immediately become ashamed, and what to speak of giving them up. The two brothers submitted, Dear Lord, you have incarnated to deliver the fallen souls. You should consider that in this world there is none so fallen as us. You have delivered the two brothers, Jagai and Madhai, but to deliver them you did not have to exert yourself very much. The brothers Jagai and Madhai belonged to the Brahmin caste, and their residence was in the holy place of Navadvip. They never served low-class persons, nor were they instruments to abominable activities. Jagai and Madhai had but one fault. They were addicted to sinful activity. This was mentioned by Vijay Prabhu the other day. However, volumes of sinful activity can be burned to ashes simply by dim reflection of the chanting of your holy name. Jagai and Madhai uttered your holy name by way of blaspheming you. Fortunately, that holy name became the cause of their deliverance. We, too, are millions and millions of times inferior to Jagai and Madhai. We are more degraded, fallen, and sinful than they. And we should understand that sometimes we glorify devotees or glorify our friends, and we might do it in a joking way, or we might try and make ourselves seem more humble. But we should really understand that Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami aren't just performing lip service here. They're really feeling intense humility, intense meekness before the Lord. And this is the beginning of devotional service, to really understand what is humility. And through humility, all other good qualities come. So they offered more prayers to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And after hearing the prayer of Dabir Khas and Sakar Malik, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, My dear Dabir Khas, you two brothers are my old servants. My dear Sakar Malik, from this day your names will be changed to Srila Rupa and Srila Sanatan. Now please abandon your humility, for my heart is breaking to see you so humble. So that we can see that the Lord is saying that the Lord's heart is breaking to see them so humble. And so we understand that they became very dear associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, their names Srila Rupa and Srila Sanatana Goswami. And after their meeting with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he advised them that, please stay in your service, and at a certain time you will be able to join me. And so Srila Rupa and Srila Sanatana Goswami, after some time, they planned to give up their service to the Mohammedans, to Nawab Hussein Shah. And they actually engaged two Brahmins in performing parascharana. They engaged these two Brahmins and paid these Brahmins much, much money so that they would perform rituals and chant the holy names so that these two brothers could be free of their service and go and take shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So as we know, Rupa Goswami, he brought boatloads of wealth home, and he gave 50% to the Brahmins and the Vaishnavs. He saved 25% and gave that to his family members, relatives, and he saved 25% of the rest for his personal expenditures because he knew that there would be legal obligations that he had to take care of. And Sanatana Goswami, he had a certain understanding that he thought, if I make Nawab Hussein Shah angry at me, then this will be very, very good for me. So on the pretext of having some disease, he went home, and every day he would study Srimad Bhagavatam with 20 to 30 Brahmins. And so one day, the Nawab Hussein Shah and another person came to see Sanatana Goswami. And he said, I sent my physician, and he told me that you're not diseased. Actually, you're quite well and healthy. What is going on? And Srila Sanatana Goswami said, I can no longer serve you anymore. And the Nawab Hussein Shah became very angry. And he said that, your brother, your elder brother, referring to himself, is trying to conquer all of Bengal. And he wants to go on many more excursions of killing. Actually, he wanted to go to Orissa and fight with Maharaj Prataparudra. He wanted to actually conquer Orissa. And as we know, he went to Orissa, and Maharaj Prataparudra came back and defeated Nawab Hussein Shah, and he forced the Nawab back into Bengal. And so Srila Sanatana Goswami was arrested by the Nawab, and Rupa Goswami had set aside 10,000 coins for Srila Sanatana Goswami. And so in the Madhya Lila, chapter 20, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs Sanatana Goswami in the science of the Absolute Truth. We learn about Srila Sanatana Goswami's escape. So Srila Sanatana Goswami was imprisoned in Bengal. A letter arrived from Srila Rupa Goswami. When Sanatana Goswami received this note from Rupa Goswami, he became very pleased. He immediately went to the jail superintendent, who was a meat eater, and spoke as follows. Sanatana Goswami told the Muslim jailkeeper, "Dear sir, you are a saintly person and are very fortunate. You have full knowledge of the revealed scriptures, such as the Quran and similar books. If one releases a conditioned soul or imprisoned person according to religious principles, he himself is also released from material bondage by the Supreme Personality of Godhead." Sanatana Goswami continued, "Previously I have done much for you. Now I am in difficulty. Please return my goodwill by releasing me. Here are 5,000 gold coins. Please accept them. By releasing me, you will receive the results of pious activities and gain material profit as well. Thus, you will profit in two ways simultaneously." In this way, Sanatana Goswami convinced the jailkeeper, who replied, "Please hear me, my dear sir. I am willing to release you, but I am afraid of the government." Sanatana replied, "There is no danger. The Nawab has gone to the south. If he returns, tell him that Sanatana went to Pastool near the bank of the Ganges, and that as soon as he saw the Ganges, he jumped in. tell him I looked for him for a long time, but I could not find any trace of him. He jumped in with his shackles and therefore was drowned and washed away by the waves. There is no reason for you to be afraid, for I shall not remain in this country. I shall become a mendicant and go to the holy city of Mecca." Sanatan Goswami could see that the mind of the meat eater was still not satisfied. He then stacked 7,000 gold coins before him. When the meat eater saw the coins, he was attracted to them. He then agreed, and that night he cut Sanatan's shackles and let him cross the Ganges. In this way, Sanatan Goswami was released. However, he was not able to walk along the path of the fortress. Walking day and night, he finally arrived at the hilly tract of land known as Patida. After reaching Patida, he met a landholder and submissively requested him to get him across the hilly tract of land. A man who was expert in palmistry was at that time staying with the landlord. Knowing about Sanatan, he whispered the following in the landlord's ear. The palmist said, "This man, Sanatan, possesses 8 gold coins." Hearing this, the landlord was very pleased and spoke the following to Sanatan Goswami. The landlord said, "I shall get you across that hilly tract at night with my own men. Now just cook for yourself and take your lunch." Saying this, the landlord offered Sanatan grain to cook. Sanatan then went to the riverside and took his bath. Because Sanatan had been fasting for 2 days, he cooked the food and ate it. However, having formerly been a minister of the Nawab, he began to contemplate the situation. As a former minister for the Nawab, Sanatan could certainly understand diplomacy. He therefore thought, "Why is this landlord offering me such respect?" Thinking in this way, he questioned his servant, whose name was Ishan. We can see that the Sanatan Goswami, even though being a very great devotee, he could still understand diplomacy, and he could appropriately use it in Krishna's service. So Sanatan asked his servant, "Ishan, I think you have some valuable things with you." Ishan replied, "Yes, I have 7 gold coins." Hearing this, Sanatan Goswami chastised his servant, saying, "Why have you brought this death nail with you?" Thereupon, Sanatan Goswami took the 7 gold coins in his hands and went to the landlord. Holding the gold coins before him, he spoke as follows, "I have these 7 gold coins with me. Please accept them. From a religious point of view, please get me across that hilly tract of land." And so we know he was taken across the hilly tract of land. He sent Ishan on his way. And as he was traveling, he went to Hajipur. And there he met a gentleman named Srikanta, who happened to be the husband of Sanatan Goswami's sister, who was engaged in government service. And there Srikanta gave him a very opulent chatter. And so Sanatan Goswami kept traveling. And Sanatan Goswami arrived in Varanasi. He was very pleased to hear about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's arrival there. Sanatan Goswami then went to the house of Chandrasekhar and sat down by the door. Understanding what was happening, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke to Chandrasekhar. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "There is a devotee at your door. Please call him in." Going outside, Chandrasekhar could not see a Vaishnav at his door. When Chandrasekhar informed the Lord that no Vaishnav was at his door, the Lord asked him, "Is there anyone at all at your door?" Chandrasekhar replied, "There is a Muslim mendicant." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately said, "Please bring him here." Chandrasekhar then spoke to Sanatan Goswami, who was still sitting beside the door. "O Muslim mendicant, please come in. The Lord is calling you." Sanatan Goswami is very pleased to hear this order, and he entered Chandrasekhar's house. As soon as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Sanatan Goswami in the courtyard, he immediately went up to him with great haste. After embracing him, the Lord was overwhelmed with ecstatic love. As soon as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu touched Sanatan Goswami, Sanatan was also overwhelmed with ecstatic love. In a faltering voice, he said, "O my Lord, do not touch me." Shoulder to shoulder, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sanatan Goswami began to cry unlimitedly. Chandrasekhar was very much astonished to see this. Catching his hand, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took Sanatan Goswami inside and made him sit on an elevated place next to him. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began cleansing Sanatan Goswami's body with his own transcendental hand, Sanatan Goswami said, "Oh my Lord, please do not touch me." The Lord replied, "I am touching you just to purify myself. Because by the force of your devotional service, you can purify the whole universe. Saints of your caliber are themselves places of pilgrimage. Because of their purity, they are constant companions of the Lord, and therefore they can purify even the places of pilgrimage." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "By seeing you, by touching you, and by glorifying your transcendental qualities, one can perfect the purpose of all sense activity. This is the verdict of the revealed scriptures. My dear Vaishnav, seeing a person like you is the perfection of one's eyesight. Touching your lotus feet is the perfection of the sense of touch, and glorifying your good qualities is the tongue's real activity. For in the material world, it is very difficult to find a pure devotee of the Lord." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "My dear Sanatan, please hear from me. Krishna is very merciful, and he is the deliverer of all fallen souls." So Sanatan Goswami stayed with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Varanasi for some time. And Sanatan Goswami was cleaned up because he was looking like what Prabhupada says a duravesh, kind of like a hippie. And so this Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed that he wanted his devotees to be very clean looking. And also, he instructed Sanatan Goswami in how to properly be a sannyasi. As we know, he had that very beautiful, colorful chatter that was given to him by Sri Kanta, and the Lord could understand that Srila Sanatan Goswami was performing Madhukari. He was begging, but at the same time he had this very opulent chatter, and so Srila Sanatan Goswami could understand that it was very hypocritical that he had this opulent chatter, but he was begging, and so he gave up the chatter and took up very, very low garment from another beggar. And so after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu liberated Prakashananda Sarasvati and the rest of the Mayavadis, he sent Srila Sanatan Goswami to Vrindavan. And when he went to Vrindavan, he met Subhuti Roy, who was also an ex-Mohammedan. And he was in Vrindavan serving the different devotees there. And so when he went to Vrindavan, Srila Sanatan Goswami, he was also instructed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that the devotees in Vrindavan, they are very poor. They only have 2 loincloths and a water pot. So see to it that you maintain them. So that was one of Srila Sanatan Goswami's instructions, is to maintain the devotees there. And so when he went to Vrindavan, he also never took shelter of a place made of stone. He would only live under trees and bushes, and he would change each night the tree that he would stay under, performing severe austerities. And also he became an archaeologist. He got books from Mathura, and he started excavating different sites in Vrindavan. And he would wander around the forests, and he would excavate different sites. And also, he went in the second time he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the second time, and then after staying in Vrindavan for a little bit, he then went to Jagannath Puri to see the Lord. And he took the way of Jharikhanda forest. But when he was traveling through Jharikhanda because of fasting and drinking bad water, he got some kind of disease that all over his body, he had these sores, and they were itching, and pus would come out of them, this oozing pus. And so he thought that, "I will go to Jagannath Puri, and I will give up my body underneath the Ratha Yachakart. I will commit suicide because this body is no longer able to perform devotional service. So he went to Jagannath Puri. And when he went to Jagannath Puri, he stayed with Haridas Thakur. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went and saw Srila Sanatana Goswami, and he embraced him, even though Sanatana Goswami tried to refuse the Lord's touch because he didn't want his disease to get on the body of the Lord. The Lord forcibly embraced Sanatana Goswami, and that ooze went on the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they talked about Anupam, who is the younger brother of Sanatana and Rupa Goswami, and is passing away. And then another day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to see Srila Sanatana Goswami. And he told Sanatana Goswami that if I could attain the Lord by committing suicide, I would have given up my body millions and millions of times. But we cannot achieve the Lord by giving up our body like this. And he said, and actually, you have given me your body. Your body is my property, and you want to destroy somebody else's property. And he said that because of my mother's wishes, I have to stay here in Jagannath Puri. But through you, I want to teach the whole world about devotional service. I want to excavate so many places in Vrindavan. I want to show the world how to be a proper sannyasi. And you want to destroy another person's property. And so he was chastising Sanatana Goswami like this. And he could show that Sanatana Goswami understood that I cannot give up my body. And again, the Lord embraced Sanatana Goswami, even though Sanatana Goswami tried not to have the Lord touched him. And the ooze again went on the body of the Lord. And then, after this, Sanatana Goswami, he met with Jagadananda Pandit. And Jagadananda Pandit, after Sanatana Goswami revealed his mind to Jagadananda Pandit, he said that, "I've come to Jagannath Puri to benefit myself, but because of my offenses, I'm just degrading myself. The Lord keeps touching me." And so Jagadananda Pandit said that maybe you should go back to Vrindavan. And so he instructed Sanatana Goswami. And so the Lord, again, he would go and see Haridas Thakur. He would go and see Haridas Thakur and the others that were staying with them every day. Even though Haridas Thakur, Sanatana Goswami, they would never go to the temple of Jagannath, Jagannath himself, in the form of Lord Chaitanya, would go and see the devotees there. And so he went and he started chastising Jagadananda Pandit, saying, Jaga, this boy, he's instructing you, but you can even instruct me. And so the Lord embraced Sanatana Goswami and he took away the Lord's disease. And there's a very nice talk of Haridas Thakur with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And also when he had this disease, another part of Sanatana Goswami's deep humility is that one day the Lord had a lunch in Yameshwar Garden, the garden of Lord Shiva. And the Lord asked Sanatana Goswami if he could go and join him at the picnic. But Sanatana Goswami understood that if he went directly to the garden, he would have to pass the Singhajwar gate where all of the priests and all of the devotees of Jagannath would be. And because he didn't want any of the priests to touch him, he went all the way around on the beach. And the beach was so blazing hot that Sanatana Goswami's feet actually blistered up. But he didn't even feel the blistering of his feet because he was just excited to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he saw Sanatana Goswami. He said, "It took you a long time. Which way did you come?" And Sanatana Goswami said, "I went on the beach." And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "How is this possible? Your feet blisters." And Lord Chaitanya could see that all over his feet he had so many blisters. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "My dear Sanatan, although you are the deliverer of the entire universe, and although even the demigods and great saints are purified by touching you, It is the characteristic of a devotee to observe and protect the Vaishnav etiquette. Maintenance of the Vaishnav etiquette is the ornament of a devotee. So Srila Sanatan Goswami was the most beautiful devotee because he was showing the topmost Vaishnav etiquette, always thinking himself lower than the lowest, Trinadapi Sunichena. And so this is the great benediction given to us that we are able to read Srila Prabhupada's books and understand the lives of these great souls. Sanatan Goswami is showing us how to be humble. And we can't imitate, but we want to emulate the great souls. Mahajano Yena Gata Sapanta, that we want to follow in the footsteps of the Mahajans. And so Sanatan Goswami, after staying in Jagannath Puri, he went back to Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, the dealings that he had with the Vrijbasis, he was the guru of all of Vrindavan. Even though he was so humble and so tolerant, he's actually our Sambandha Acharya. As we know, Lord Chaitanya talks about that the revealed scriptures talk about three concepts, three points, Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. So Sambandha is our basic relationship with the Lord, our understanding, who are we? What is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? What is our relationship with Him? And so Sanatan Goswami, being the Sambandha Acharya, and his deity, Madan Mohan, being the Sambandha Vigraha, the deity of Sambandha Tattva, he is showing us that the basis of our devotional lives is humility and tolerance. And so Sanatan Goswami, who lived in Vrindavan, excavating and writing many, many books, of which Brihad Bhagavatamrita is very much celebrated, and His Grace Gopi Puranadan Prabhu has mercifully translated and given to us a very deep book, which Srila Prabhupada talks about in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And at the end of his life, Sanatan Goswami stayed at a place in Chakratirtha. So there's the Madan Mohan Temple. But then in the later years, Sanatan Goswami had a bhajan kutir on the banks of Manasi Ganga at Chakratirtha. Chakratirtha is where Lord Krishna put his Sudarshan Chakra to dry up all of the water, Govardhan Hill, when Lord Indra was raining down all the water. And so at Chakratirtha, there is a Chakaleshwar Mahadev temple. And so Sanatan Goswami had his bhajan kutir right next to the Mahadev temple there. And there's a very special pastime that there were so many mosquitoes bothering the residents there that Sanatan Goswami couldn't perform bhajan there. So he gathered up all of his belongings and he was going to go. And then Mahadev, Lord Shiva, came as a Brahmin and said, "Don't leave, don't leave. All the mosquitoes will go away." And so now, even now, the Brijbasis say there's no mosquitoes there to this day. And Sanatan Goswami is very famous for his Govardhan Parikrama. And every year in Guru Purnima, the devotees of Vrindavan, they would go and they would worship Srila Sanatan Goswami and he would lead them on Parikrama. So in Guru Purnima, he was very elderly. And the devotees headed by Jiva Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, Gopal Bhatt Goswami, they went to see Sanatan Goswami, and he wasn't moving, and they could understand that he had entered Samadhi. And so they worshipped Sanatan Goswami, and then they did Govardhan Parikrama. And even to this day, on Guru Purnima, the residents of Vrindavan, this is the largest Govardhan Parikrama. There's a big Govardhan Parikrama at the end of Kartik, but on Guru Purnima, there's an even bigger Govardhan Parikrama just for the celebration of Srila Sanatan Goswami. So thank you for listening to the reading. There. Chaitanya Charitamrita ki, Srila Sanatan Goswami ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.